So thank you all for joining us this week, January 11th, for the Fats, Fuels, and Oils Forecast. Today I have Ryan Standert with us, and he's going to go over his updates to the fats and oils. As I said earlier, if you have any questions, drop them in the Q&A anytime during the presentation, and we'll get to the questions at the end of Ryan's presentation. Ryan, go ahead and take it from here.
All righty. Thanks, George. Happy, I guess, belated New Year to everybody out there. This week, we dug in on the bleachable fancy tallow market, or the tallow market in general. I think the story in the tallow market is very similar to the rest of the animal fats, the low CI feedstock markets, if you want to look at it that way. And that's everybody was kind of on the sidelines heading into the new year. A lot of buyers and sellers went long just to ensure they had coverage through that holiday period. And coming out of the holiday, you know, those last 2 weeks of the year, soybean oil and corn prices really took off. Same thing with palm oil, which is very bullish for animal fats, as well as UCO and distillers corn oil prices. And so everybody's been playing catch up this last week. Prices have found a new trading level, went up again. And as of yesterday, midday, it looked like everything was going to go up another tier in the near term. I think that's still going to be possible, and that's the potentiality is related to the SRE, the potential SRE waivers that the Trump administration is rumored to be granting on its way out of the door, and also some concerns over the Supreme Court picking up the SRE case that was, I think, the originally decided on by the 10th Circuit Court. But we'll get back to that in a minute. The reason for the bullish outlook here in the near term, it really is just imbalance of supply and demand. There's a lot of buyers out there that need material still for January and for early February. And there's not a lot of material available in the spot market. And as a result, those prices are going to have to come up. We saw an unconfirmed report earlier in the month of edible tallow at 45 cents. I do believe that traded despite the lack of confirmation. And that kind of sets the level. So if 45 cents edibles trading, you know, sellers are going to be asking somewhere in that 40 to 42, 43 cents Chicago range for BFT. We saw 40 cents trade last week. We're forecasting prices to trade this week, maybe early next week, and 42, 43 cents per pound Chicago range. There is more support too going into February, just based to see strong soybean oil prices, although we have seen bean oil come off in the last couple of days. Same thing with palm. There still is quite a wide spread, and that is supportive of higher prices. As I mentioned in the commentary here, soybean oil, it's not a great substitute in many applications that it's used in for bleachable fancy tallow. Renewable fuels is about it when it comes to direct substitution, maybe a little bit the chemical, but those fatty acid splits aren't good. So the demand for BFT is relatively inelastic, and soybean oil really sets that the price direction. The substitute would be palm, and with those prices in the mid 50s or potentially in the lower 50s with some price declines over the last couple of days, it's still way out of line for economically viable substitution. Additionally, there's some logistics issues getting things in from Asia, which could cause further delays and put another risk premium on top of planning to substitute palm in place of tallow. So a lot of reasons for palm not to come into the country, and a lot of reasons for tallow prices or tallow to continue to be used. Strong demand from the chemical industry, and that as a result is expected to bring prices up. Back to the SREs. And the potential, you know, we saw RIN prices come off a little bit yesterday, actually quite a bit in the biodiesel market. Ethanol RINs took a hit as well. And so that's created some uncertainty. And I think we have to wait and see exactly what the administration does on its way out, how many of these 2019 SREs or waivers they may grant. And then there'll be a better assessment of the RIN bank and RIN prices at that time. I think it's important to note that if RIN prices suffer, I mean, the way I'm looking at this market overall is it's been very constricted. UCO supply is down because restaurant activity is low due to COVID restrictions. It's typically low this time of year anyways, because the top half of the country has limitations due to cold weather. So it's hard to get into the collection sites, Some of the tanks can be frozen, water. There's all sorts of problems that limit UCO collections in the winter as it is. And then you add COVID restrictions on top of that, and that further restricts that supply. Ethanol producers are really struggling with margins. Gasoline demand isn't great. The corn prices, as I mentioned, are very high. And so that's having an effect on ethanol margins. And there was already before this announcement or this news broke, the threat of plants idling heading into February, which is going to further constrict that already tight distillers corn oil supply. If RINs come off and there's even lower ethanol production, then you're going to see a further tightening of DCL supply. So that takes another chunk out of the already tight low CI market. And so tallow, choice white, yellow grease, the other greases are going to have to do the heavy lifting for feedstock requirements. And again, you know, soybean oil prices are so high that there's not a lot of alternatives. So it's kind of I think producers are faced with a run or at high prices or shut down. You know, with that said, these RIN numbers, if they come off, they're really going to impact the biodiesel producers who aren't going into California. I think they're already struggling with razor thin margins. And if we see these plants start to idle like the ethanol producers do, then this rally is certainly going to slow, and we could see this forecast adjusted lower moving into the summer. As it stands now, the feed demand is pretty strong. They've been supported. There's still some room to go basis corn prices. Chemical demand, as I mentioned, is very strong. And then renewable diesel, as well as the biodiesel producers who are going into California, still have a good margin basis, that California credit and the dollar per gallon blender's tax credit. A lot of the bigger players are doing their buying out in front, so we might see more of an impact in that March and April position should this bearishness from these potential announcements continue, or if we find out something that's particularly bearish for the market, I think it's going to have more of an impact on the March and April window and not necessarily the nearby or even maybe the first half of February. I think that wraps up what I was planning on talking about today, and I'm happy to answer any questions that may be out there.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. If you have questions, drop them in the Q&A and we'll go ahead and get to them. I have these questions so far for you, Ryan. Do you expect to see some edible tallow trading soon?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we saw some unconfirmed report at 45, but I think we'll see some additional. I know there's some demand out there, so we should see some additional spot trading, I think, pop up here soon. I think the last traded level that was reportable was 36 cents, so that's more of a Chicago choice white grease number right now.
Okay. Unless I get other questions, the last question I have listed right now is, have you seen any issues with fat exports tied to the shipping issues in Asia?
You know, I think that there potentially is very good demand for tallow to go overseas because it's so favorably priced relative to, and I shouldn't say so favorably priced, but it is favorably priced relative to palm or palm stearine. Typically when we see Chicago BFT at less than 100% of the price of palm stearine FOB Malaysia, we see an increase in exports. I think that there is such strong demand from the North American market, you know, including Mexico, in the U.S. and potentially some stuff moving into Canada, that there isn't a big pull for exports right now. So I think exports will be a little bit slower, with the exception of a couple large players that already have buying in place for renewable fuel production. But and UCO headed to the east for the EU Renewable Energy Directive like demand. But I don't think there's the export market is willing to pay a high enough price to buy that away from the interior market right now, for the most part. So indirect way of saying, like, I haven't seen shipping issues when it related to exports on fats, but I don't know that I would, because I don't know how much actual, or I shouldn't say I don't know, I don't think that there's a tremendous amount of demand out there right now, off of the West Coast anyways.
Okay. Another question here for you, Ryan. Do you think with current economics, renewable diesel growth will come at the expense of biodiesel, or they will both grow?
I think that renewable diesel production, obviously it's a drop-in fuel. It doesn't have to be blended, and it's a little bit lower as a quote Cusick, you know, it's a lower on the cost curve in terms of compliance. So that seems to fit better for some people. I think biodiesel definitely still has its place in this market. I think that maybe a better answer is that renewable diesel is, because of their ease of drop-in and the credit generation going into California, they're going to be able to buy feedstock away from the non-LCFS destined biofuel or biodiesel producers, because they're going to have trouble competing without that California credit and also the blend requirement.
All right. Well, Ryan, that's all the questions that we have for you today. If anyone has any additional questions, please go ahead and send myself an email or Ryan at an email. Ryan is at ryan@thejacobson.com. And with that, thank you for your time. Ryan, thank you.
Thanks, everybody.